Welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge. Politically Enraged is a podcast purpose-built to discuss British and international disunity in political spaces, talk through ideas, introduce you to amazing people, and fight back against authoritarianism. My name is David Moo, I'm your host, and I hope you'll stick with us. Follow our Twitter at Political Rages, find us on Instagram and Ko-fi at Politically Enraged, and let's speak truth to power. Hello, and welcome to Politically Enraged, a podcast designed to make you go, oh yeah, if you're a lefty, and oh no, if you're a right-winger. Today is a solo episode, and I wanted to touch on one of my absolute favourite topics, which is how pissed off I am with the state of British politics in general, but more specifically, with the state of leftist discourse in the UK, because holy shit, is it hard to have any kind of opinion ever on the internet, because someone's going to disagree with you. And not only are they going to disagree with you, but they're going to do it loudly. Normally not a problem. You know how to handle yourself. But it's weird when it's your own side who are attacking you. One of the reasons that I actually made the podcast was because I wanted to have a bigger platform that let me express myself for longer than a 3-minute video or, you know, little character tweets. Because it's been really a journey for me to come to where I am politically. I've always been a lefty, and I've always known where I stand morally, but I never really started to compare and contrast myself against other lefties, because why would I? You know, we're all on the same team, so I'm not going to fight you. So, you know, as long as you agree with me and we can talk respectfully about things, I'm fine. But then came the doom, where you just can't have that anymore. It seems like there's no nuance in leftist political discourse anymore, and it's getting frustrating, because whilst every single lefty is arguing about who's the best lefty that's ever existed, it seems like the right-wingers are just, like, getting their way, which is getting a bit annoying. Now, when I say this, I know full well that it's going to come across like I'm saying, no, all the Corbynites, which is exactly not what I'm doing, actually, because I really liked Jeremy Corbyn when he was in the running. I thought that he was a decent politician. I thought that he was a good man. I had my problems with him. The way that he was about Brexit, holy shit. Like, give us an answer, will you? It was the equivalent of going, so are we going to have a second referendum yet? And he was like, you know, like taking a sip of water to avoid answering the question. And I was like, I need to know though. Like, you're still getting my vote, but could you clarify for me, please? He was always going to get my vote because I fucking hate the Tories, and right-wing politics makes me want to scream gently into a pillow until I inhale some of the loose quilting. But I just wanted to know, you know, am I going to get a second referendum or not? And I think that his lack of clarity on that was not helpful at all. I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the election, but I also think that it would have been helpful for those of us who supported him to know where the friggin' hell he stood. But again, don't hate Jeremy Corbyn. The people who follow him and still think that he's the best thing since sliced bread and relentlessly attack you for saying anything contrary to anything is a little bit frustrating though. As an example, I put up some tweets yesterday where I said, if all you do is attack your own side in politics, then you're not some paragon of leftist virtue, and then a few other things. And I spent several hours watching it be quote tweeted by weird lefty anon accounts going, look at this centrist melt. Oh, so pathetic. And I was like, this is the nuanced debate that I missed. Like, what were you trying to prove other than my literal point that you people do not debate? You just go, oh, disgusting centrist. Well, you've got the choice of siding with centrists or being ruled over by right wingers. So, you know, suck it up, buttercup. But I also have my fair share of things to say about the people who are obsessively defending Keir Starmer at every single turn. Keir Starmer is our best option right now. I understand that. And when I've said before that he is a credible alternative to the Tories, I mean that he is the one with the most credit to his name. He, in the polls, is the one that's leading the Tories. That doesn't mean I think he's perfect. He's done a lot of things that have really pissed me off, and I was openly extremely critical of him as soon as he took over as Labour leader, and his response to the Labour Leaks report was, who leaked this? Not, why are you all such twats? And quite a few things that he's done, you know, like he gaffed up and went to a church that was supportive of conversion therapy. And I was like, hey, so if you want my vote, I'd suggest you don't try and erase me as a human. But, you know, eventually, after several days, he apologized. And I, like I said, I understand why people have a problem with supporting Keir Starmer because his Labour is, it feels like a very different Labour than it was under Jeremy Corbyn. But it also looks like it's really pulling ahead in the polls. And it's at this point where, you know, I see people like Owen Jones on Twitter who spend so much time and energy going, Keir Starmer's Labour is the worst thing to happen to British politics since someone flipped a coin in the Houses of Parliament and it killed a bear. Like, I look at that level of discourse and go, are you sure this is the hill you want to die on? Don't get me wrong, I don't expect Starmer to get elected and start like revolutionising British politics, but I will take a guy who fixes the damage the Tories are doing and does no more, or just sits there and kind of runs the country. Because right now we're just, you know, sinking both barrels into corruption, and I'm not really enjoying it, guys and gals. I'm just going to throw that out there. Also, I don't have to say non-binary folk here because most non-binary people are super switched on and understand exactly what the deal is. Now, the big problem that I have is I feel like a left centrist, like I'm sat in the middle of people that relentlessly defend Starmer and call everyone else Corbynites, and a bunch of people that slag off Keir Starmer and call everyone that doesn't agree with them centrists. And I can't help but question the elitism and the privilege of having that kind of intellectual or political purism, like in your head. I get it. You don't like the other guy. How is that helping you get elected or moving things forward? Because it doesn't seem to be doing that. And whenever this kind of discourse comes up, I just look and go, are you sure? Are you sure this is how you want to go about things? Because it just feels like a battle that isn't ever going to go anywhere besides round in a circle. And there are legitimate issues with both people for different reasons. But that's normal. Like, intellectual purism or political purism is fucking stupid. If you really think you would have been 100% satisfied by Jeremy Corbyn's premiership as the Prime Minister, you are deluded. He would have reneged on promises, he would have let you down, he would have changed his ideas. Because that's what leaders have to do sometimes, because they know more than you, or because they have to play to a crowd that isn't you. And the people that think that that wouldn't have happened, I think, are a little bit mad in a way. It's the same with Keir Starmer. Like, again, I don't expect the guy to get elected and fulfill my every leftist wish, but I also think it's a starting point. And I guess one of the things that always makes me laugh is that I'm always accused of being a Starmer lover. And I don't really. It's just that I see him as a means to an end. Like, I see Starmer as preparing the way for people that I really like to take over down the way. And I'll be interested to see whether that works out the way I want it to. Because I'm not stupid, and I certainly don't think that I'm, you know. People think that I think I'm a political savant. I'm not. I'm just very opinionated. And having spent a billion years, it feels like, in lockdown, I've gone over and over and over the kind of different paradigms that can come up and followed them. And I think I know which way things are going to go with a bit of fair wind and help, because obviously everything's a bit biased and ridiculous in the UK. But I honestly don't know. I really, really hope that we get what we need out of Starmer, which is a credible alternative to the Tories and some leftist policy. But I don't know, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, then so be it. You know, I don't know. But it's like people think that we're electing a leader for a lifetime. Boris Johnson's shite and won't get out of power because he has a head, well, much bigger than his ego. He looks like he'd get wedged in a door frame at nothing. But if Starmer got in and sucked, we could pressure him out of power and get him to be replaced with someone decent, because there are a lot of decent people in Labour. The problem is that there are a lot of people in Labour who also kind of suck. But you know, the way that I see it is kind of like the EU. There were some legitimate problems with being in the EU. There were, you know, like I love the EU. I wish we were still in the EU. I think that the EU was great, but I admit that there were problems with it. But the way I see it is, if you want to change something, you can change it from within. You can influence it from within. But outside of it, you just stood on the outside going, I don't like you. And you know, having watched over the last couple of years, I don't really think that negotiation type works. I don't know whether you guys agree. The way that everything's gone with the EU so far is mortifying is probably a decent word to use there. Ultimately, though, this whole thing is about a lot more than a referendum and a lot more even than about Corbyn versus Starmer. We're currently under a government that has demonstrably made people's lives worse en masse. We are under a government that, even before Johnson put his beaky little face in the hole, was creating a hostile environment. And yes, I know Labour did some fucking stupid things. The problem being, a lot of the UK have those disgusting thoughts, and we need to educate that out of them. But they had to play to the same gross crowd of xenophobic dickheads. And I understand why. I don't like it, but I understand. That's all I'm going to say. But even before that, we had austerity and we've had God knows what. But we really are at fever pitch with conservatism at the minute. Like Oliver Dowden and his stupid speech about wokery. This whole war on woke thing is a false flag. I'm really tired of people concentrating on it. We don't need to have the energy. We just need to make fun of people that spend all of their lives talking about how bad it is to give a shit about other people's feelings and then move on. Because holy fuck, these people are puerile and childish. And if you ever offend them, you never hear the goddamn end of it. But they're happy to go around offending other people. I've said my piece about that. Let's move on. The point of the matter is that you can fight all that you want about how badly Jeremy Corbyn has been treated by the Labour Party since he lost the election, and I understand, and to a point I sympathise. But you also have to look at how badly we lost in that election. And yes, again, I know there was a lot going on in the media and all of that. But as I'm just saying to someone right now in my Instagram comments, it's all well and good saying, oh, Jeremy Corbyn was treated terribly. But we also live in a country where nearly 50% of the UK voted right because they just don't understand socialist ideas. They don't understand the ideologue, they don't understand anything about socialism. And the second you say the word socialism to them, they think of like war-torn countries where you can't get food. Ironic then that we live in a capitalist country that has the exact problems that we keep getting told that socialism will bring. But regardless, that's just not the point. People in this country are not ready for socialism. There is no way to mass educate people about socialism as a separate idea. Plus, with the damage to the economy, I just don't know whether we could make socialism fly right now. I just don't. I still have to do a lot of reading about socialism to see how it would actually work as an economic model for the UK, so I'm not going to go too much into my feelings about socialism. But all I'm saying is, a huge proportion of the UK don't want socialism. So trying to disparage them for not wanting socialism is not going to attract them to it. And this is the other problem that I've got. If you speak ill of someone's ideologue when it comes to socialism or the antithesis of it, then you get attacked. And I don't understand how people expect to win people over. Like, if you've had the time to sit and research socialism and decide that it's a really good model, then congratulations. I think that's quite privileged. Most of us have been working quite hard to, you know, live and pay bills. So having the time to sit around and learn about socialism is great. Other people don't have that luxury. Plus, if socialism is a great alternative, convince people by speaking to them about it. Tell them about why socialism would benefit them, would make their lives better, why the current system doesn't work, point out the flaws. If that doesn't win them over, you're not going to win. But you also don't need to be an asshole to them because they might just not agree. And there's lots of different reasons for that. And we just have to cope with that. Let's look at the facts. Capitalism is a failing model. It's just been failing in slow motion for a very, very, very long time. The question is, are enough people pissed off with that model to try something new? And I really don't think that they are. Think it all you want. If there's ways and means that you can change them en masse to get that through their heads, then go for it. But I just don't see it happening anytime soon, which is an unfortunate reality of everything. The fact of the matter is as well, we're currently in a state where it's really hard to make people change. So many people are clinging to Boris Johnson because they need someone stable who's there. And Boris Johnson might be a nightmare, but to these people, he is practically their messiah and he's always there, being Boris, being a knobhead. And they find comfort in that. I don't know why. I think it's weird, but, you know, we don't understand them. Ultimately, the big problem that I have is that there are so many people on the left fighting each other because they don't agree with this and they don't like Starmer and they don't like socialism and they don't like this and they don't like that. And, oh, you're scum, you're a centrist piece of shit. Oh, you're a Corbynite and, you know, your ideas are shit. Who do you think benefits from all of that noise? Who do you think benefits from us at each other's throats? Who do you think benefits from those kind of arguments? It's certainly not any of us. Not at all. None of us get what we want, what we need. All that happens is right-wingers get to maintain power because we're too busy at each other's throats. And I get it. You don't want to work with people that don't support your ideas. Well, that's what compromise is, unfortunately. And if you look at the right, they are excellent at it. Because if it doesn't directly affect them, they are going to sign up to it. Oh, electing this person will mean that gay rights get rolled back. I mean, I'm supportive of the gays. They'll cut my tax. Oh, well, you know, I mean, the gays aren't that great. Am I saying that we should become more like the right? No. But what I'm saying is there is room for compromise, which is currently being stamped out by this fiery discussion that's left, right and everywhere. You're never going to make me slag off Jeremy Corbyn because I really liked the guy. And I don't think that he's a bad politician. I don't think he's perfect. That's all. You're probably never really going to get me to slag off Keir Starmer too much because he's not perfect, but he's presenting a credible alternative to the Tory party. And that's what I fucking want. I need someone who is going to ream the Tory party, who's going to get them out of power, and who's going to make sure that they stay out of power while all the damage gets fixed. After that, someone else can come in and start improving our lives. We're on the long haul here. And I think one of the big problems is people want this, like, snap, where just everything changes to what they want. They want to live in a country where everyone adopts this idea that socialised public transport is brilliant and everything. But people don't understand it and they don't have the bandwidth to understand it at the moment because of, you know, the whole war and COVID and Brexit and everything. We're all embittered and tired because we've spent God knows how long fighting a virus, fighting each other. Now we're fighting other parts of the world. And so if you're surprised and frustrated that there's a lack of understanding and nuance, as I am, then I guess we all need to kind of come up with some understanding as to why, because there's pretty well-founded reasons why we're all fighting each other. But I also think that as the side that is usually a little bit more willing to stop, look and question, maybe it's time that we do all start doing that. Maybe it's time to go to our corners and ask ourselves why we're more willing to fight each other based on the leaders of parties than we are to fight against Boris Johnson's cadre of arse wipes. Ultimately, all I am trying to put out there into the world is that there is plenty of room for all of us on the left, and we all have to work together to move things to our side, or they'll just keep moving further right. And there's absolutely no point in doing the Corbynites are Tory enablers, oh, centrists are Tory enablers, because right now, we are all Tory enablers, because we can't have a civil conversation with each other about how we can move political discourse forward on this side of the spectrum. Never mind make a compelling argument for why people that are a little bit flippant should come to our side and vote with us. The irony is, half of the people that quote to support the Tory party don't. They just support the guy in the suit. Keir Starmer's winning them over. They don't fucking care. They don't care about policy. They just want their lives to be better and for some reason think that it will be better under Johnson. It won't be. Let's hope Keir Starmer can make them demonstrably realise that their lives will be better under Labour. Who knows? And people can bring up all of the weird, scurrilous things that Starmer's done to try and court votes. It's shit. I don't really want to share a party with people that are like, woke political correctness. But at the same time, those people are willing to throw down their votes for Labour. I'm like, you go for it, hon. Vote for Labour, and maybe you'll become a nicer person. And if not, maybe they'll enact some laws to make you realise that you're a twat. I don't really care. I just hope that things move forward. The only thing that I have to say is that as a huge group of people, over 50% of the UK, because we are over 50%, there is a lot of room for us to find our commonalities instead of finding our differences. And if you spend so much time and get so much joy out of fighting with people who are kind of on your side to very on your side, instead of the people that are actually your enemy, what is it that you think that you're achieving? Because I don't know, and I don't get why people want that. I don't get why people need that. I get why people have bad blood towards Starmer, because he kicked a lot of people out of the Labour Party. But being as these people have spent the last 3 weeks going, he's getting insulted because of what Boris Johnson said, I can kind of see why you guys got kicked out. And I'm sorry if that hurts feelings, but you know, don't be a douche. Equally, I can see why people still think that Jeremy Corbyn was good, because he spent a long time leading the Labour Party and making us realise that there are better political ideas out there. I owe a lot of my political sentiment to Jeremy Corbyn. It just so happens that I've realised that he lost an election and said he'd step down, and he did, and now we have Keir Starmer. And pining for the days of Jeremy Corbyn being in charge isn't going to do anything. And wanting the man to get some kind of recompense for the way he was treated by the British press ain't going to happen, because the British press is still owned by the right-wing conservative-enabling barons who make our lives a nightmare. Maybe one day we can start some kind of big leftist news corp that will debunk and derail all of these ridiculous right-wing pieces of crap that people should be using to wipe their ass, but instead use to stuff their gammon brains. But until then, we have what we have to deal with. And if you're not for getting the Tories out actively, then at the moment, that does kind of count as enabling them. And the Tories are doing some real seedy, scurrilous shit. When it comes to what Labour have said recently about there's been no case to rejoin the EU, no, I was not happy about that. But I also understand, after the rage that Brexit caused and after the division and all of that, do we really want to go through another year, 2 years, three, four, five, 6 years of that? Because I sure as fuck don't. I wish we were back in the EU. I wish we'd never left the fucking EU. But we're out of it. And we need to try and make do with what we've got until there is a better case for moving forward with a plan to either realign or rejoin or whatever the hell it is that we're going to do down the way. It sucks. That's reality. And it brings me back to exactly why I am making this podcast today. Because at some point, you need to compromise. I am willing to compromise and wait for further leftist ideals to be implemented in the UK. I am willing to wait for us to rejoin the EU. As long as there is a promise that these things can and may happen in the future, I am good. Because I know that I have to play the long game. Shouting and screaming and stamping my feet and attacking people who I'm supposed to be siding with, that doesn't work for me. If it works for you, and if you think that employing misogyny, racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, transphobia against people who share like over half of your political ideals is a good idea, then you're probably not the good person that you think that you are. And playing this game of political purity, that doesn't work for me either. No one's perfect. No one has perfect ideas, ideals, none of it. Somewhere down the way, you're going to disagree with someone on something. But if you think it's worth continually losing elections and keeping people like the Tories in power to, like, own the non-libs or whatever you want to call it, well, then you must just be a lot more okay with human suffering under the Tories than I am, is all I can say. I feel like this entire episode of this podcast, which is now 24 minutes long, has been me having a go at people like I'm your mum. I care about a lot of people on all different spectrums of the left, and I know that we can do well, we can unite, and we can move things forward. But not if we're always fighting each other, not if we're always bringing up the past and saying, you did this and you said that. At some point, as adults, as decent human beings, we are going to have to move on from the terrible things that have happened and unite, or we get more of this. And that's not something I want. If it's something that you're okay with, it's not because you're sticking with your privilege against the grain. It's because you haven't suffered in the way a lot of people have. That's all I can say to the people out there that are listening to this podcast. If you disagree, that's absolutely fine. If you attack me for saying these things, you either know that I'm right, or you're exactly one of the people this is aimed at, who put your ideological purity over the very real lives of people that are suffering under the Tory party. I don't want to leave off trying to sound like a disaster monger, so I just want to say, I do understand people's ideas, I do understand people's anger and frustration and hurt and tiredness with all of this. I totally get it. And I don't necessarily think that either side is 100% right or 100% wrong. I just think that at some point, we're going to have to unite. And I don't want the reason that we have to unite to be literal fascism. And every single day, that creeps a little bit closer. So every time you argue with someone who claims to be a further leftist or a closer leftist or a left centrist or whatever, ask yourself whether you're more angry at them than you would be fascists. Because I know what my answer is. And I know that if we unite, if we work together, if we start listening to each other, if we start working on real compromise, then maybe we can actually get out of this before it's too late. A little note about compromise. Nobody ever walks away from it 100% happy. But people do walk away getting bits of what they want. Do you want a bit of what you want? Or do you want more of this? Those are the questions you've got to ask yourselves. And I'm curious for your answers. So, as long as it's not abusive, let me know on Twitter. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Politically Enraged, the podcast that is designed to either support you like a gentle Calvin Klein pouch or revile you like a cheap pair of Asda knickers. Thanks for listening to Politically Enraged, a podcast designed to discuss politics palatably. If you're interested in following us on social media, you can find me at Davy Moo pretty much everywhere. And you can also find us on Instagram at Politically Enraged, where you can see the blog. You can find us on Ko-fi in case you'd like to caffeinate me. And you can find us on Twitter at Political Rages. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, stay politically engaged and get politically enraged. Because remember, we deserve better.